Michael Avery with Classic Business.
Afrimat's latest acquisition is proving to be its most successful to date. The Debeneng iron ore mine was acquired out of business rescue a couple of years ago, and today it's the group's biggest profit contributor at 43%. And when a tailings dam belonging to the world's biggest iron ore producer, Vale, burst earlier this year, it's estimated that 75 million tons of supply withdrew from the market, which really helped to push the price of the commodity above $100 a ton. HEP's growth of 30% ensures that Afrimat retains its rating in an environment where many of South Africa's leading companies have lost theirs. So certainly a fantastic performance. And I'm joined now by CEO Andries van Heerden, who's in my Melrose Arch studio. Andries, you really are cementing your reputation as one of the better capital allocators on the JSE. Well done. What's your approach that you take to capital allocation?
Yeah, thank you very much. I think our approach is actually really, really simple. We try to stick to the basics, try to keep the capital out as little as possible, and make sure that the return is there and that it comes in soon. A relatively simple approach, get the cash in as quickly as possible.
And if you don't complicate things, generally, the results are there for all to see. That 200 million EBIT number from iron ore, is that peak earnings, or can we expect more to come in the next reporting period?
Well, that's always a difficult question because you can get me into trouble with the authorities. But let me say that we had a slow first half, if you can recall. So there wasn't a full year of earnings that's in there. The second half was much better, and all the logistics and everything was sorted out. And secondly, you referred to the Vale disaster and all that, but we only saw the real effect on the iron ore prices right towards the end of this reporting period and running into the new year, and only this week iron ore prices broke through $100. So it's a difficult question. I'm not allowed to make any forecasts, but we're in a good space.
Now, one can read the tea leaves exactly the way you'd like to on that. Construction materials saw EBIT crash, though, 31% down. Are we at the bottom of that particular cycle? Are there any green shoots, so to speak, that you can see?
That 31% must be put in perspective. We also did a write-down of a bit of goodwill in that business because of that. So it's actually 23% down on an operating level, which is slow, but relatively to other players, I think we're quite happy with the performance of the team there. We do think we've bottomed. If we look at the leading indicators, and over the years we've come to rely on certain leading indicators, building plans passed, the Reserve Bank leading indicator, it all gives us the indication that it has bottomed. And looking at the current situation that we see out there, we do see a little bit of green shoots, specifically in KZN, some low-cost housing coming through, a little bit of roadworks coming through. Unfortunately, no good news from SANRAL yet. But generally speaking, I think it's going to be a slow recovery. But depending on what happens in the next week or two on a political front, I think we might be in for a good ride in the construction space.
And it certainly ties in with the conversation I was having with the head of Calgro M3, Vickers Lotkhan, as well, about his sense that we have hit the bottom of this particular cycle. And it has been brutal.
The
listed construction companies in business rescue are testament to that. Industrial Minerals also had a tough year, EBIT down 12%. This division services a broader part of the economy than just purely construction materials, but it points to recession no less. What's the mood like amongst your customers there?
No. The first half of the year, we saw quite a bad first half in our industrial minerals performance, and it was not so much the economy, but it was just a couple of things on our side. We had to reline a kiln in Fredendal, and we had a couple of other operational issues that we had to sort out. The second half was much better, and we actually had a very good second half. If we compare the second half this year with the second half last year, we're probably up 8% or so year on year. So it's not bad.
And that does show you how big the turnaround was from the first to the second half. What can investors expect if the LNG project you're positioned to get gets the go-ahead?
We've been positioning Afrimat over the last couple of years in the north, in the area of Palma and where the activity is. It is a very exciting project. Somebody in my team recently said that part of Mozambique can be the next Qatar. It is a seriously big project, and all the infrastructure, you know, there is nothing there. There's no infrastructure that must be built. All the roads, the airport, the houses, everything must be built. So this can be a very exciting part of AFRIMAT in the years to come.
In terms of weather-related events, we've seen the impacts of cyclone activity in that northern part of Mozambique. Is that an issue for that infrastructure?
It is a risk. It is at the moment, there is no infrastructure, so the big problem was more in the housing, the local housing, the local communities, and we're not really prepared for that sort of weather conditions. Obviously, when the big infrastructure comes, they know it is an area prone to that sort of weather, so they will make sure that they can live with it.
Built to cope. Now, you've also made a bid for a British-owned, Australian-listed coal mine with South African assets for a very lowly, princely price of 3.5 times enterprise value to EBITDA. Why so cheap and why coal? This is the universal coal transaction.
Yeah, well, we always try to buy assets on the cheap. But we really do think that there is an important part to play. There's a big opportunity in coal in South Africa, specifically on the thermal coal side. We think there's a role to play for somebody that can do it in a very responsible and an environmentally responsible way. And we think it's a good space with good predictability, reasonably good margins, and a long life ahead.
Everyone's looking for that kind of multiple on acquisition, but sometimes it does point to an underlying problem or risk with the business. You haven't picked up any funnies in your initial DDs?
We are still busy with the DD. The fact that we are still busy says that we haven't picked it up, but I can assure you that we are turning over every stone to make sure that if it is there, I'm pretty certain we'll find it.
Now, lastly, Andries, the president was officially inducted as the president of the Republic yesterday in Parliament. We now eagerly await his cabinet. What would you like to see from him? As quite clearly, we need to kickstart growth. And from your vantage point inside the mining community, I know Pravin Gordhan said at the pre-Minerals Council AGM a couple of nights ago that he'd like the mining industry to sit down again. I don't know if that showed something of a lack of understanding of for how long the industry has been negotiating with previous ministers, but what would you like to see to kickstart growth?
And from our company's perspective, remember, we also have quite a big exposure to construction materials. From that perspective, I think everything is ready for quite a good growth. In my personal interaction with quite a number of property developers, we've heard of many of them that have done all the pre-work. They've got their building plans approved. They've got their funding in place. They've got everything ready. The moment that they have enough confidence that the economy will recover, they will pull the trigger, and we'll see a sudden spurt of activity in that space. And I think there's a lot more of that in the construction materials space. And what we really need from the president is to give, you know, we made wonderful progress, in my view, over the last 18 months on everything that he did was towards rooting out corruption, getting integrity back into the system. If he can accelerate this with his new cabinet, give confidence that integrity and ability is really driving the decisions in there, that'll be market friendly, and we'll see a lot of growth. And the same for mining. I agree with you. I actually think we made a lot of progress under the current minister with understanding each other from a mining industry and from a government industry. I think there was a lot of progress. On a lighter note, I think we don't have to sit down anymore. We must stand up and start working.
Well, that is certainly the president's mantra. He's an execution president, one who reads the board minutes before he arrives at a meeting and doesn't sit and lead from behind. He's the one asking questions right up front. So, Andries, we certainly hope that is the case. And as always, I look forward to chatting to you at your interims after, hopefully for shareholders, you've delivered another set of numbers like these. Take care.
Thank you very much.
That was AfriMat CEO Andries van Heerden, and that's a wrap for Classic Business tonight. Saan Mohammed is in the Jazz Lounge in Cape Town, and in Gauteng, Anne Williams is in the hot seat, standing in still for Carolyn Stain's Classic Winding Down. Thanks for tuning in to the Classic Business Show, which was brought to you by Altron, technology partners in your digital transformation journey. For more information, visit them at altron.com. Altron, there when it matters.